Becker on Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day. We're here at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Of course, in Cool Springs, 1935 Mallory Lane will be here until 2 o'clock as people, lots of foot traffic in here getting ready for the weekend. We head to Kansas City where we've already told you the weather is sketchy. We've already had a member of our staff. It's planes, trains, and automobiles trying to get to KC. We've already heard of a plane skidding off the runway. I don't know what that means. Kendall Gammon is there. Maybe he can help us out. Chiefs radio analyst. Kendall, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, and yes, I did hear about that. Plane sliding off the runway. That's a little bit less than optimal, I would say.
I would say so.
Yeah, that is never a good thing. And so I know there's a lot of folks from this area that are indeed traveling today, and so we've tried to warn everybody, you need to be checking your flights because I know a lot of flights have been canceled here heading your way. So what are they forecasting for Sunday?
I think they're saying, that, guys, it's going to be right around the freezing mark, right around the 30 to 35, but should be dry, a little precipitation, if any. And then the field is covered, of course, and our grounds crew, just like all the grounds crews in the NFL, do a great job keeping that field and getting it ready. So it's covered, and I don't foresee really any problems. And as far as cold, 32 degrees, both teams have played in that a fair amount.
January, Kansas City, 32 degrees. I think that you guys will sign up for that all day, right?
And twice on Sunday, exactly right. It will be Sunday, yes. We'll take that for sure.
So, Kendall, we've brought you on to deliver some really good news on this Friday. You're here to tell us that Chris Jones is out of the lineup on Sunday, right?
He is out of the lineup. I'm lying. I don't know one way or the other, but you said you wanted to hear it. What's interesting, guys, is I just heard that he's going – right now he's scheduled to be at the podium today later on for interviews. It remains to be seen if he actually shows up, if that's what happens. But right now that's the schedule. And really, though, I think your guess is as good as mine on whether he plays or not. You would think somebody having upwards of 2 weeks has a good chance to play, but he did not practice yesterday. So I guess we'll just wait until after today's practice to see what his status is.
In all seriousness, we saw him the first go around here in Nashville this season when the Chiefs were in town. Everybody, if you watch him, you know how important he is to what the Chiefs are trying to do, slowing down the run, what goes on in the trenches. What if he is unable to go, or let's just say he's not his usual self, how much does that affect what the Chiefs are trying to do?
Well, there's no doubt it affects him because he is a Pro Bowl selection this year. I think he was kind of on the Pro Bowl team also a little bit in the first and second team matter some way. Anybody who's 315 has a 7-foot wingspan and can run like a deer. If they're out, that's going to make a difference. But the fact is the Chiefs played without him last week, guys. I know you know that, and they did okay without things. And it's been Andy Reid's mantra ever since he got to Kansas City 5 years ago, which is next man up. And you know what? You're always preparing. You're always one play away from being a starter. And if he doesn't play, then that's what happens this week. There's really a steady rotation of those defensive linemen in anyhow, so they'd just be down one. But no doubt, I mean, when you're talking about stopping Derrick Henry, it would be a blow to the defense of Kansas City.
We're sitting here in this market since the Titans arrived in Nashville. This is their third time in the AFC Championship game. It's been 17 years since we've had a week like this talking about a championship game with the Titans in it. So you know the vibe and the feel here. People are really excited, especially when it kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think really anybody anticipated this team being in this spot. What about in your neck of the woods? I mean, you guys were in this spot this time last year. You're back at home again. You lose a heartbreaker in overtime. What's been the feel all week about this matchup?
Well, it was the goal, first and foremost, to get back to this game and have a chance to get to the Super Bowl, which is what they thought they should have done last year. You know, I know from a player aspect, having played the game for 15 years myself and being in two straight AFC championships when I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of those we went on to the Super Bowl. I don't remember the score of that game, by the way. But all the same, Did you understand that one, guys?
Yeah, we did pick up on that one.
Yes. All the same, though, I mean, as a player, you're just ready to go. And I mean, there's only four teams left. This is the Final Four, and so much means – there's so much meaning in getting to that. It's like much like I'm sure Nashville is. You know, I've got a friend by the name of Adam Robertson there who's told me a little bit about the city and the fact that, you know, you guys are just going nuts, as well you should be, and the support. And that's how it is at Kansas City. And that, along with having, you know, the reigning league's MVP right now, Patrick Mahomes, you know, there's a lot of people that are very excited, as you'd imagine, very relieved after what happened last week, and very amazed at what happened last week. So, you know, it's setting up to be a great game. I was good friends with Mike Vrabel throughout my career. We were both PA reps, and then his last couple of years he played here, guys, and I was on the broadcast team, so I knew him from that also, and he was also in my book that I wrote, Game Plan, and I've just got a lot of respect for the guy. I mean, he's on his game. Everything he does exudes head coaching material and how he handles himself. And, I mean, he's one of the good ones, and I think you guys understand that. I mean, anybody that does planks before a football game has got to be has got to be respected. So I just love it, and, you know, it's going to be a good game Sunday.
He may be a little off his rocker, but you're right. Say that in an affectionate way, for sure. Kendall, you understand this because you played a lot of positions on the offensive side of the ball, whether it was tight end or you dabbled in a lot, offensive lineman, a long snapper, so you can understand this. And I just want to get your perspective. Kansas City had a nightmare here on special teams and the kicking game in Nashville in the regular season. And also, on the other side, the Titans are sitting here where they have only made 8 field goals this entire season. They haven't attempted a field goal in over a month. And we kept sitting here going, this is insane. Like, this is the NFL. Games are decided by field goals all the time. And this team rarely even attempts a field goal. What do you make of those two? I think, obviously, we know you can't go into this game expecting the same type of, I guess, special teams woes that Kansas City had before this go-around. But what do you make of both of those?
Well, what you talk about is unique. I mean, I don't believe your field goal kicker currently, and I assume you just call him X because you never know who it's going to be this season, or you're on your fourth, I believe. But he hasn't actually attempted a field goal in a game at this point, just PATs, I believe. And that's
correct.
Unique in and of itself. But yeah, you know, having been, you know, an ex long snapper and an offensive lineman back when, you know, I was 310 and then I got down to 250 and I was a backup tight end the rest of my career, but always a long snapper. Special teams was what made me and why I stayed in the league for 15 years. And the things that happened for Kansas City at Tennessee, they were the difference in the ball game, and we all understand that. And that simply can't be the case if you're a team that expects to go to the Super Bowl. So the Chiefs definitely have to shape things up. I will say I did not know you hadn't attempted the field goal in a month. I think that's, as I said, unique. But when it comes down to it, you do a lot of practice, and you've got to perform on Sunday. It's a 3-hour club. You got to get there, and for 3 hours, you got to lock in and get it done. And you know, whoever has a clean special teams game will certainly go a long way towards who comes out with the most points and is headed to Miami this week.
Kendall Gamet is with us. He is the analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's a 15-year veteran of the NFL. So, Kendall, let me ask you about the Chiefs' offense and what you see there, because we were just commenting. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes had the gigantic numbers last week as they came roaring back and won 5 touchdown passes, and he had a huge game against the Titans where he had 446 and 3 touchdowns, and that was almost routine a year ago. The numbers this year have been really, really good, very effective, but not quite as eye-popping. Tell us how the offense has evolved from last year to this year, because it's still obviously very effective, but the numbers are a little bit different.
Yeah, they are. I think one big difference is the Chiefs haven't been as effective in the red zone. He's got more passes of 20-plus yards for touchdowns than he does touchdowns in the red zone. So it's just been unique. The big play strike has been what the Chiefs have lived on, certainly last year, this year as well. And that's why you see, you know, that single high safety oftentimes back at 20, 25 yards, just trying to protect from the big play. I think with that happening, that started probably game, I don't know, six or seven sometime this year, that has made Patrick, you know, understand that he's got to take what the defense gives him a little bit more, and I think that has thus slowed down the offense a little bit. I would say the other really big thing has been the fact that not as many yards outside the pocket, because he hasn't been able to get outside the pocket as much as he did last year, because the majority of the games this year, guys, you know, he had that ankle injury or then he had the knee injury, and he just wasn't scrambling the way he does. And he is a great pocket passer, and I think he's one of the most accurate in the game and has a generational arm and all that. But when he's mobile, that's what makes it even better. You guys saw it last week. Wow, him extending plays, and all of a sudden, you know, making throws at the last second and having the uncanny ability to find somebody open amongst, at one time, six players and get the ball in there. So I think it's the mobility that he didn't have. And if you go back to game 10 there at Tennessee, he did not scramble at all. There's times that I was watching the game yesterday that some man coverage was going on and one side of the field was completely open. If that happened last week or if that happened this week, he would take off and get some yards. That couldn't happen in a game in Tennessee because he simply wasn't healthy enough.
Must be nice to not be healthy, not be able to do what you can do well, and still throw for 446 in that game.
Right?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Kendall, have you ever seen a guy drop back as far as he does at times? He has so much confidence that he can get so far back there and still deliver it the way he needs to.
Yeah, it's special. The one thing that he kind of, and I'm dating myself, and if you saw my head, that would date myself also with the lack of hair. But I liken it to a little bit like Fran Tarkenton back in the day, which I think was a Wednesday. And he just, I mean, Fran Tarkenton used to scramble all over the field, didn't matter where. And that's what it reminds me of, is a guy who, as long as he can find an open window to throw through, it doesn't matter where he's at on the field, he'll go ahead and get it there, and that's what we've seen. And you know, it's kind of like the guys that take the 3-point shot from 5 feet beyond the arc. It's like no, good shot, and yeah. That's what you get from him. And you guys know also confidence, just breeds more confidence not only in yourself but the players as well. And I think now they're going up, and aside from the first three drops of the game this week, guys going up and making some really nice plays, or going down and making some really nice plays too. And he's got it all. He's special. He's somebody who's playing at a level that's much more advanced than the years of service he's got in this league.
Before we let you go, Kendall, as you can imagine, the Derrick Henry train here, you can't talk about him enough. He's been so dominant, eye popping, all of that stuff. The run defense for the Chiefs, I know, has been an issue. You look at the numbers from afar, that's what the Titans are hoping to exploit on Sunday. How much improvement do you think they've made in that area over the last couple of years?
Over the last couple of years, a fair amount. Really, what I'm going on, guys, is this last six-game stretch, now seven-game stretch with the playoffs, where they allowed less than 100 yards a game and just playing a much more aggressive defense. When you look at Kansas City this year, when they hold rushers to 110 yards or less, they're 8-0. When they're above 110 yards rushing the other team, that is, they're 4-4. So, and I guess it would be 9-0 because they held under 110 last week as well. So, you know, they can give up some rushing yardage and still be effective, but it's when people get yardage totals like 168, which you know who I'm talking about there, and that's when you have issues because it controls the clock. I mean, Kansas City, if Derrick Henry gets on a roll and Tennessee has the ball for another 38 minutes a game this week like they did against Kansas City in the first time, that's nearly impossible to come back from unless Kansas City is just striking quick with the big plays. And I think that's going to be something that will be hard to do with this defense of Tennessee. So, in general, I mean, it is stop the D train first and foremost, because – off of that, everything else lives for that offense of Tennessee, from what I've seen.
Kendall, Neil O'Donnell listens to this show to get all of his sports info. So do you have any message for Neil O'Donnell?
A long time no see, yeah. Neil was, he might remember me. I was on the team with him for 4 years. Funny story, my rookie year, I'm just a long snapper, but We had a couple of guys get hurt in the first half, and I came in at right tackle playing some real reps as a rookie, and he just looked at me, and he's like, who are you, and what are you doing in here? I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I was asking myself the same question, but I held up okay. I didn't let him get sacked that first half or the time that I played, but yeah, Neil's just a great guy. That's interesting to hear that he's around that area and that he listens to you all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he listens in Nashville. We run into him all the time. Neil's a great guy. He looks like these days, if you haven't seen him, he looks like Jay Leno with a beard.
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't know how to react to that. I will just say no comment.
He'll get a kick out of that. Hey, Kendall, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Hey, guys, you bet. I appreciate you having me on. Take care.
All right, that is Kendall Gammon. Good stuff from him.
Stuff.
He is the Chiefs radio, the color analyst for the Chiefs radio network and a former player, as you just heard. He was on that Steelers team that lost the heartbreaker in the AFC Championship game in 94 to the Chargers, Junior Seau, Stan Humphries, that crew. And then the next year they knocked down the door. They beat Jim Harbaugh and the Colts at Three River Stadium and went on to lose to the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. We'll come back and wrap up hour number two next.